It's a job she could have till she dies. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
You don't have to stand for election.
No.
You don't have to raise money.
No.
You don't have to consult polls.
No.
Focus groups.
No.
Republican Senator John Cornyn pressing Amy Coney Barrett as the reason the Supreme Court appointment is for life is...
to be insulated from the pressure that such things like focus groups or polls or public opinion...
Democrats keep pressing the nominee to get answers on key issues on day three of her hearing. Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more live.
Dave, can President Trump pardon himself?
The question may or may not arise, but it's one that calls for a legal analysis of what the scope of the pardon power is.
Judge Barrett told Democrat Patrick Leahy no one is above the law. Tomorrow, the panel will hear from outside witnesses, including retired Judge Thomas Griffith, recently involved in the Michael Flynn case. Democrats will bring in a doctor who supports the Affordable Care Act. There will also be representatives from the American Bar Association Standing Committee, which gave Judge Barrett a well-qualified rating. Dave?
Until President Trump and Joe Biden will not debate tomorrow night. That was canceled when the president rejected the change to a virtual, not in-person format. Now the two will go head-to-head on different TV networks in dueling town halls.
The presidents will be tomorrow night in Miami on NBC, while Biden's will be in Philadelphia and air on ABC, both with an 8 o'clock Eastern start. NBC says their event will take place outdoors. Attendees will be required to wear masks, and the moderator will sit 12 feet away from the president.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. The number of Americans who voted early now, 13 million, and more are casting ballots today in the states that allow early voting. State records were set when it started this week in Georgia and then in Texas.
I come out here to cast my vote, and I hope my man wins. Joseph R. Biden.
Go Trump.
Go Trump.
America's listening to Fox News.
Hiring can be challenging, but ZipRecruiter makes it fast and easy. We talked to Monica Starks, who needed to hire for a pivotal role at her company, GS Group.
As the owner of a construction company, finding the right people is a very difficult task. So I use ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology identifies the right people for your job and actively invites them to apply, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. Monica did, and that's how she found Lamont, her new project superintendent.
The job is so perfect for me. I had a career breakthrough. I would have never found this job if it wasn't for ZipRecruiter.
With ZipRecruiter, we've hired everyone from accountants to project managers to field scientists. With ZipRecruiter, we get hiring results.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trial. ZipRecruiter.com.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store, is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessory for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
At Nationwide Vision, you can get 2 pairs of eyeglasses for just $99.99, including no-line bifocals. Call 1-800-EYE-CARE or visit nationwidevision.com. Taking care of Arizona's eyes for 35 years. Nationwide Vision.
The Russ Clark Show is brought to you by Quick Refrigeration, now offering excellence in professional plumbing services as well as heating and air conditioning. Visit them at getcoolquick.com and listen to Russ Clark Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with 4 locations to serve all of your tire needs.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny week of weather continues with a high of 102 this afternoon, 69 overnight tonight. Sunny and 101 tomorrow, 70 tomorrow night, calm winds both days. 99 on Friday with sunshine, 70 on Friday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. This is Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And I am here this morning with Phil Rodriguez, the City Administrator for the City of Yuma. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Kim. Thanks so much for having us today.
And also Jay Simonson, the Deputy City Administrator and the Interim Director of Parks and Recreation. He's got a full plate. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having us.
So we wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on with the city this morning, and we kind of talked a little bit before this, but so how are we doing as far as reopening, and what have we got going on in the city right now?
Yes, thanks for that question. You know, we love the idea of reopening, right? We have, we've been really shut down in a lot of ways this year across the community. I will tell you that the city never shut down completely. In fact, really, as you guys might imagine, our services we have to provide regardless of whether it's a pandemic or a natural event, calamities, whatever. So we've been, in many cases, working harder through this time period even than we were prior, simply because we've been trying to address something that's completely unprecedented and that, typically we didn't have a lot of experience with. So we're navigating that well, but what we're really interested in doing right now is getting our community back open in a safe manner. Doing that in a way that allows people to gather, even if that's at a limited level, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, I'm sure, in just a moment. But get ourselves a chance to reconnect socially, give ourselves a chance to get back out, and especially to support our businesses. In fact, what we're seeing actually is our revenues, which I'm very, very pleased to see this, are at where we were a year ago or even better. So we're seeing the community being very resilient and rebounding right now, and we couldn't be more pleased with that. But you know, I think that kind of leads maybe into if Jay doesn't mind sharing some of the things that we're looking at doing as a community and as a city to help us really figure out how to reopen.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, I gave a presentation to council that we're opening Parks and Rec back up. We've got all of our youth leagues, our typical fall youth leagues. They've opened up, with the exception of tackle football. You know, We were trying to plan all of this in August when things were really, really, really bad. So that was the only youth group that's not going forward with their youth activity. So we've got baseball, we have girls softball, we have inline hockey started. We've got our adult softball league started. As many people know about the PAC, we've heard for years we're not having tournaments at the PAC. Well, I can guarantee you, like I told council, one blessing out of this COVID situation is the PAC has become very, very popular. In general, Yuma has become very, very popular with Southern Californians wanting to come over because we're open, because we're playing sports, we're allowing tournaments to happen. So we have baseball tournaments or softball tournaments every weekend right now at the PAC, and we have it booked out just about every weekend through the end of the fiscal year, which is June. I've actually asked our guys to slow down taking requests for a couple reasons. For one, it's really overwhelming our staff. And number two, we want to provide some of our open space for our local people, our local teams. If we just let California come over and just take over everything, then our locals don't have an opportunity to recreate and use our facilities that they pay tax dollars for. So we're trying to balance that. But yes, Yuma is very, very popular right now. We're very, very excited. We're starting a concert series very much like we started the drive-ins. And we started the drive-ins last, I think Philip called me in May, hey, can we get a drive-in movie started up? And Parks and Rec staff was actually Lindsay Benaka in our arts. She had already kind of started doing some research on it. So within just a few weeks, we had a makeshift drive-in set up at the stadium, and we were showing movies in a socially distanced atmosphere. Well, we're doing the same thing now with live music concerts. We're trying to help our starving local artists, our bands,
mm-hmm.
that haven't been able to play in the bars and things that they normally are accustomed to doing. We've now set up a socially distant concert event in the same stadium we had the drive-in. You'll buy a square, and it'll be socially distanced from the next square, but you can have five of your other closest friends or family with you. Sit down and enjoy the concert. We're going to actually use the drive-in movie screen behind the band, so if you're sitting a little bit further away, you'll still be able to see the band. So we're pretty excited about that. Our first one is this weekend, actually.
Who is it going to be?
Weezerton.
I thought so. I was listening to one of the sister stations this morning, I'll admit, but it was another El Dorado station, and they were giving away tickets if you commented on their Facebook page for Weezerton. So I'm pretty excited about that. I love Weezer. So.
Are we going to see you out there?
As long as I can get out there. You know, I just had my furniture show up at my house on Monday. I'm the newest resident of Yuma at this
and
point.
Welcome, by the way. I know, I've been here all of 10 months, and now I feel like the veteran sitting next to you, Kim, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
But welcome. We're glad to have you.
You were talking about the city services, and I have to tell you, the city actually made it pretty easy as far as, like, when I had to get things set up.
Yeah,
I mean, I was still able
to
go to City Hall and get everything set up like we needed to, which totally got me sidetracked. But
we appreciate
that. But no,
that.
Actually, thanks I was able
feedback.
To get, so the city was clearly still open. You had to be, I needed water.
Yes, yes. So things like our police and fire, our water, our building inspections, I'll tell you, even our community development department that deals with construction, permits, inspections, they're seeing a record year this year. There's a lot of activity going on, and we've had to support that through this whole process. And it's made us better, I think. It's made us more efficient. We've actually had to figure out a lot of new technologies to use so we can do this safely. And I think we're actually going to be a much stronger city out of this.
I think so, too. I mean, even though things have been bad, I think we've learned to do things differently, even as a chamber. We've learned to do things differently and are probably going to keep some of the things that we've implemented during all of this. So I'm going back. I was on the city's website yesterday, and I saw you got some pretty cool movies coming up for Halloween, too. So.
Yes, we have The Addams Family, which is we're going to show that earlier in the evening on Halloween night for the families to come out and do that. But I have never seen it, but I understand the Rocky Horror Picture Show is a very, very popular movie.
We're getting a thumbs up.
You've never seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I apologize,
really?
I have not.
So are we going to see you two out there?
Well,
it is at midnight.
That starts at midnight, and that's really past my bedtime.
Yeah,
if anybody
too.
Knows me, that's really past my bedtime. But... I think I will make a point to attend because I understand it's a really, really a good time. So, and we're going to use the same socially distant concept we do for the concerts for those events. So we're excited about those as well.
We want to underscore too. Right now we're really excited about the fact that our weather is starting to cool off a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and people are going to get back outside. We think there's a lot of safe ways for us to get back together during this time period, and we're very fortunate. So while the rest of the country is going to start having a shift back indoors, we're going to be shifting outdoors, and we're going to have a whole host of things that people can get involved in. I'm pretty excited for that.
I agree. I mean, I think it's the perfect timing. We can
Absolutely.
Start doing everything outdoors. We're even talking about some of our events. Well, can we still have our events if they're outdoors? Let's see what the guidelines are and see what we can do so
right.
we can start doing that. So speaking of, you know, shifting everything, so I know that you have a big strategic planning meeting coming up in a couple of weeks. So
yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yes, I was hopeful we'd get to that. It's probably one of the most important things we're going to do as a city over the next course of a year or two. And, at the very end of this month, we're actually going to get our city council together and have a two-day strategic direction planning sessions where we're going to really talk about the future of the city in a way that enables us to hopefully plan and be very focused about where we want to go as a community. And so, if I may, I want to give a quick plug. We've got actually a listening tour that's coming up, and I'll share a little bit more about this in just a moment. But we kick that off today, and I want to talk a little bit about what that's going to look like because we want to encourage folks to make sure that their voices are heard right now. And that we give the city council as much backup as we possibly can so that they can make great decisions for our community going forward. So I'd love to talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes if we can.
Perfect. I think that's the perfect segue into the break. This is Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Listen to Sean Hannity weekdays from noon to 3 right here on 560 AM KBLU. Sean Hannity's brought to you by Liberty Motorsports on Arizona Avenue for all the best motorsports products in the industry, plus your service needs since 1981.
These are not normal times. It's okay to not feel normal. Reach out and talk to somebody. The local crisis line is 866-495-6735. 866-495-6735. The Teen Lifeline can be contacted by phone or text 602-2418. Open Monday through Friday, 3 to 9 p.m. And for crisis text line, text connect to 741-741. This message is sponsored by the Arizona Department of Education's Project AWARE and Office of Indian Education.
Fox News at the top of the hour. Brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com. News Talk 560 KBOU, where you're always right.
Our brains aren't fully developed until we're 25 years old. Marijuana use inhibits brain development, causes permanent IQ loss, and leads to long-term dependence. In states that have passed measures like Prop 207, more teens get a hold of marijuana and use it, putting their brains and futures at real risk. Prop 207 would allow marijuana sellers to lace candies and cookies with marijuana, fill vape pens with high-potency pot, and advertise them all on social media, a teen favorite. Even kids too young to use could be at risk. When you drop off your child at daycare, you don't expect the caregiver to be stoned. But under Prop 207, there's nothing stopping employees from using marijuana and then heading into work. Protect our kids and Arizona's future. Visit no207az.com and vote no on Prop 207. Paid for by Arizonans for Health and Public Safety, not authorized by any candidate.
El Dorado Broadcasters is searching for creative problem solvers to join our team of marketing professionals where we help businesses be more successful. I'm Chris Fleming, General Manager. Here's what it's like when you make a career working with El Dorado Broadcasters.
I'm Cindy Landine. I've been with the station for 30 years. The best part about my job is I'm not tied to my desk. I'm out and about in the Yuma community helping businesses and nonprofit organizations better themselves by achieving their marketing goals.
Apply online at evbroadcasters.com/careers.
There's a major election coming to Imperial Valley. Board seats are up for grabs from Imperial Irrigation District, and you have an opportunity to take action. Your Greater Coachella Valley Chamber of Commerce endorsed Javier Gonzalez and J.B. Hamby. Well, what does that mean for you? It means the right to go solar. It means the right to safer, more affordable energy. It means protection from rising electricity costs. Vote Javier Gonzalez and J.B. Hamby. Paid for by Renova Energy Corporation. Not authorized by a candidate or committee controlled by a candidate.
Welcome back. This is Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. And here this morning is Phil Rodriguez from the City of Yuma. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning to you, Kim.
And Jay Simonton, also from the City of Yuma. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Kim. Good morning.
So when we left off, we were talking about some upcoming listening tours.
Yes.
So tell us more about those.
Absolutely. I'd be very pleased to do that. So starting today, and folks can actually go to our website, yumaaz.gov, and they can get more information about this. But starting today, at 2 p.m. at the Yuma Readiness and Community Center, kind of on the east side of our city, we're going to kick off our listening tour. And what this is really going to look like is folks, we're asking people to pre-register so that we can make sure we can keep everybody safely, physically distanced, but still accommodate them. Come out today at 2 p.m. And really what we're going to do is just give you an opportunity to come and talk to us, give you an opportunity to come and share what's on your mind about the city, whether that's services, our future, whatever we can hear from you. We're going to take all that information and we're going to bring that back to the city council in their own strategic planning process. So we have the 2 p.m. today, then tomorrow we actually have two different opportunities. One is at noon, which is an online option on Zoom. And so if people do not feel comfortable yet coming out, or simply they can't make it work in their schedule, they can jump on Zoom and we're going to have the same kind of conversations there. And then tomorrow night, we're going to be at the Sunset Terrace at the Yuma Civic Center at 6 p.m. That's the back patio. So, Kim, if you haven't been out there, it's a beautiful, beautiful setting. It goes right to what we were talking a moment ago about getting everybody outdoors and having a good time, just getting to know one another and hearing about what's on people's mind. And then on Monday, the 19th at 6 p.m. at Fire Station 1, which is a really beautiful fire station right by City Hall, we're going to open up the bays, and we're going to have our last listening tour stop there. So we're going to make a quick run around the city, try to hit all the different parts of the community so people can come out and share with us what's on their mind about their city and their city's future. And so this listening tour is just that. We're gonna be asking a couple leading questions to get the conversation started, and then we're just gonna sit back and listen. And we're gonna soak that up, and use all that information in a way to help the city council plan for the future.
Perfect. And I noticed that there's also a survey online that people can take. Like if they can't get to the listening tours, can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So it's an 18-question survey, and it takes on average about 6.5 minutes to complete it. So you figure. Somebody can sit down and have at least 10 minutes or less to give their input about their city. That information is going to go into the planning for the future years. And really, again, it's just getting a good sense of where we're at, but where do people want us to head? So what do they want us to focus on? What priorities are most important to our citizens and our residents? And then how do we make sure that we create a plan that works well for our future? And so this is all about looking forward. Obviously we want to get a good sense of where we're at right now, but our future is very bright, and we want to make sure we plan and strategize on where we want to be in the future together.
Well, and I looked at the survey because I wanted to see it myself.
Yeah.
A new resident.
I hope you took it.
Well, I will.
Okay,
I will.
Good,
I promise.
Good.
It doesn't look very. In fact, a lot of the questions are actually very straightforward. It's like, rank how important you feel like how the city should focus on health and wellness.
Yes.
Should they focus on events? Should they focus on, and it's literally just, it's extremely important down to it's not important.
Right.
So it doesn't look like, 6.5 minutes seems like that might even be longer than.
Yeah. Well, there's a few questions that are kind of open-ended if people want to give us their feedback. I suspect that's where people are spending more time.
Right.
Filling that part out. And we've gotten some great feedback. A couple quick things that we've learned already. Is people want us to focus on industry and job growth and to be good economic developers as a city. So that's something that we've kind of learned just in the survey, and we'll talk more about that with the city council. But, we couldn't ask really for anything more than just the community to give us a sense of where they see us going, where they'd like us to go, and then we'll formulate the plan from there.
Perfect. And one of the things, I was actually talking to somebody yesterday, and they asked me who was going to be on this morning, and I said it was you, and we were going to be talking about the city's strategic plan. And can you tell me a little bit more about what this does? Because I actually explained to this person then what a strategic plan was and why it's so important for the city to have one.
Yeah, yeah. So Yogi Berra once said that if you don't know where you're going, then you'll wind up someplace else. And so... We don't want to just wind up someplace else. We want to know where we're going, and we want to plan to get there. And so this strategic plan is really going to be a roadmap for us of when we're trying to make decisions and asking the city council to make decisions, frankly, that they can make decisions that are well informed by a strategic plan that says, here's where we want to be in 5 or 10 years. These are the decisions that can help us get there. And what it will likely do, too, is keep us from kind of just whatever the wind blows in that mm-hmm. year or that day, chasing that down, and then sometimes that's not the most fruitful thing for the community. So we want to make sure that we're spending our resources wisely and even our time and energy wisely to get to where we want to go.
Well, and I also brought up the fact that, since so much of the city is, elected officials, if the mayor comes and goes, the city council members come and go, this keeps the city on a forward path.
Absolutely.
And business people generally understand strategic plans because most successful people, most successful businesses have some sort of a business plan or a strategic
yes.
plan. The city really, to me, it's different, but it's no different. You have to have that plan, that what's that saying? Fail to plan to fail.
Yes, absolutely.
Kind of thing.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But being new to the city, I'm going to get back to the parks and rec thing a little bit. So I happened to notice we were talking about the Californians coming in. When I came back one of the times, I've been living out of a hotel for a month.
Yeah, that's not the funnest thing, right?
although I have to tell you, I was at the Candlewood Suites and they treated me so well.
Awesome.
And I had a nice suite with a kitchenette, so not complaining about that. But one night I got back, I was used to being able to check in early, and I came on a Monday morning, and they're like, I'm so sorry, Kim. We don't have a room for you. We were sold out last night. So, Jay, can you touch on a little bit about the revenue that the Californians are bringing in to us? I mean, in Parks and Rec, we know that they're paying for the pack.
Sure, Kim. These tournaments that we did talk about earlier, we're limiting them to 78 teams right now just because we can't. We've had organizations want to bring in 130 teams.
well, there's not enough hotel rooms and stuff to accommodate 130 teams. So right now we're limited to 78, but typically out of that 78 teams, only two or three or maybe four are from Yuma. So that just tells you all of these other folks, especially when we have the little ones, the youth of the Little League tournament, they bring moms and dads and grandparents or whatever, or the rest of the family, the siblings. So it's they're filling up every hotel room that we have in the community. Leslie, she helps these organizations try to find hotel rooms, and she's told me before council meetings, we can't find hotels for some of these teams. And our restaurant owners downtown are like, they're ecstatic on the weekends. They're packed. Even with the seating capacity is limited, they're packed right now. So, you know, you go anywhere in the community on a Friday or Saturday night or Sunday afternoon, and it's hard to get into a restaurant, which that just tells you we're bringing in the revenues. And Philip brought that up earlier about our tax revenues. We were very concerned with the pandemic that our 2%, which is funded by bars, restaurants, hotels, was going to take the greatest hit. Just this last report he got, we're about even with last year, even with the slowdown. So I think that these tournaments and things are bringing in the revenue that we've always envisioned the PAC would do. I mean, that was always the big selling point of the PAC several years ago. Hey, we'll bring in all these teams from California. We'll have all this extra revenue. It's coming to fruition now. I think it is really starting to show off. And now that people have come to Yuma, even when this pandemic is over, I think we'll still get a lot of those organizations. They may not be here every weekend, but we'll get a smattering of those, and it'll make the PAC just what it was always meant to be.
And what we're hearing too, Kim, is that the PAC is such a great facility and such a top-notch facility that some of these teams may have never looked at coming to Yuma before for a tournament. The pandemic maybe kind of pushed them to do that because we are open at a level that Southern California in particular is not. And they're coming here and finding that quality and are now saying, we love playing here. And so we know that even as other states around us start opening up again, a lot of these teams are hooked on coming to Yuma, and we're pretty excited about that too.
I'm pretty hooked on Yuma already.
Awesome.
So.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Great.
So speaking of those restaurants downtown, have we talked about anything about allowing them to expand capacity at all?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. So we've got actually something out there right now, and it's very simple and very easy, is that if a restaurant, a bar, even like a workout facility, whomever, if they want to try to expand outside of their building, we're encouraging them to do that. There's a very simple application on our website under community development. It's free. There's no cost, so it's one of the few things that we provide for for zero cost. But that's because we want to help those businesses be able to expand outside. So the reason for that is this. The governor's orders, really since the beginning of all of this, have limited occupancy in various facilities.
Right.
And so what we want to do is enable those businesses to actually expand outdoors, where, again, we know it's even safer than indoors in terms of the airflow and all of that, and give them a chance to keep their revenues up during this time period. And so there's a handful of communities around the state looking at doing that, but yeah, I think Yuma was one of the very first, actually, that is trying to find a way for that to happen.
Yeah, I've heard some very positive things. I knew that.
Oh, excellent.
From the,
yeah.
A couple of the downtown restaurant owners.
Very, very good.
Who have already completed their applications,
yes,
I understand.
Yeah,
they're very
yeah.
excited about being able to move out onto the sidewalk.
And they tell us that as soon as the temperatures actually stay under 100, they'd like to utilize that a little bit more.
We're almost there. The summer that will never end, right?
I know. Although, you know, I think a lot of them have gotten pretty creative as far as like putting in misters.
Oh, yeah.
I still manage to eat outdoors even in the middle of the summer, which is...
Yeah. Well, in our evenings, you really can't beat our evenings right now, for sure.
No,
so.
you can't. So what else is going on with Parks and Rec that we can just kind of touch on real quick before the break? Anything that...
You know, the movies are going. We've got, you know, all of our athletic things going. We're starting up our Tiny Tots program again. I mentioned at the council meeting that we were working on a program to do that safely. We've come up with a way. We've actually worked. Our staff has worked with AWC and their young children development program to come up with some guidelines. So we're very, very happy. That will kick off in November. So we're excited that we're working out some other things for. Some more of our art classes, we're expanding those. We fill those up. So we need to add on some more time, some more classes for those. Again, all socially distant, limited sizes so everybody can be in there safely. Everything is, people are just excited to be able to do things. I mean, they've been cooped up all summer long. And as soon as we opened up the program, it was a rush. Soccer registration is ongoing. That is our largest group. That starts in January, but our registration is going on right now. We'll end up with about 1,500 kids, so that's going strong. So that ends on the 21st, so get in there and get your kids registered, because we really want you to get you signed up.
Perfect. Okay, it's time for another break. This hour is going quick, isn't it? You are listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Yacht parties, sexism, women forced into silence. That's Mark Kelly's shameless cash grab. Mark Kelly got paid to star in sexist marketing campaigns, selling high-priced watches while treating women like props. But Mark Kelly's record only gets worse. Kelly sat on the board of a national restaurant company accused of sexual harassment by at least 5 women. While Kelly helped direct the company, they forced female employees to sign away their rights to sue for sexual harassment, silencing women by forcing them to give up their legal rights. Kelly and the company CEO partied on his $40 million yacht while women lost their dignity and their rights. It's just another example of the sleazy things Mark Kelly's done for a dollar. That's the real millionaire Mark Kelly. He sold us out, and he's wrong for Arizona. Defend Arizona paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.defendarizona.org.
Is your air conditioning system ready for the summer heat? This is Russ Clark for my friends at Quick Refrigeration. They have been cooling and heating Yuma since 1955, and they can replace your old and inefficient AC system. Now is the best time to replace your AC system. Special financing is available for up to 60 months. New AC systems are 30 to 40% more energy efficient than those installed just 10 years ago. Bottom line, Quick Refrigeration can keep you cool and save you money. Special financing and reduced energy bills are yours. All you have to do is place a call and request a visit from one of their professional technicians. Start the saving today. Call Quick Refrigeration at 782-3691 or visit getcoolquick.com. Don't wait until your AC system goes down. Call the best in town, Quick Refrigeration.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Are you sick and tired of high utility bills? Well, so am I. I'm Eric Sloan, candidate for the Arizona Corporation Commission. APS is asking for another rate increase in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. That's a slap in the face to every Arizonan who's had to sacrifice. I will vote no on the APS rate increase. We can't afford more utility rate increases. I'm Eric Sloan. Read more about my plan at ericsloan.com. Paid for by Sloan 2020, authorized by candidate Eric Sloan.
Welcome back. This is Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. We are here this morning with Phil Rodriguez, City Administrator for the City of Yuma. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Kim.
And Jay Simonson, Deputy City Administrator for the City of Yuma. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Kim.
So when we took the break, we were kind of talking about outdoors, and we kind of mentioned a little bit during the break. We talked about, well, you can't find bikes, which I knew. Fortunately, I have 3 bikes. But I'm pretty excited to hear about the expanded bike paths. Can you tell us more about that and other outdoor activities?
We've got a lot of bike paths. We've opened up a new bike path in West Wetlands. We really encourage through this pandemic to get outside. And our river parks are phenomenal for that. And our bike paths we have along the canal system is just second to none, you know, I believe. And we just really, if you can find a bike, get out there. And you're like, if you
I have 3, I'm good.
If you can't, get out there and just walk the trails. I mean, just get out there, get outside. Right now, our weather is turning. It's beautiful. I always tell everybody October, November is the best time of the year here. Weather-wise, days are warm, nights are cool off. So get out there and enjoy that. We've really put a lot of effort into those over the years, and we have a second-to-none system. So please get out and enjoy that.
No, I mean, that's one of the things that drew me to Yuma. I mean, I love the small town feel of it and the community and everything, but also just the opportunities to do things like that along the river. We've got such a great riverfront. I mean, everybody should be taking advantage of it from this newbie who is just who is just learning about the things. I hope that all the locals know what a great spot they've got here.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
So so I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, as a newbie, you know, the big Russ has given us looks over here. I wish radio had video. All those on Facebook can see it.
we did say nothing's off limits.
Okay, nothing's off limits. Okay, one of the hot topics around the country is defunding the police.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. We all know
you're
that.
You're going right for it. All right. So, what? Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how the city of Yuma is handling all of that backlash and defunding the police. And, I mean, are we keeping our police? What exactly are we doing?
Well, I'm pleased to report that we are not only keeping our police, but we're enhancing our police department. In fact, this fiscal year's budget, which just kicked off in July, we're adding 12 new positions in the police department. And I'm going to say we're kind of unique in that way. So when the rest of the country you mentioned a moment ago is having this conversation of do we keep funding our police, do we actually defund the police, at the same exact time, the city of Yuma is enhancing and growing our police department. So we're concerned not only about the safety and well-being of our community, but we also are of our officers. And the last thing we're going to do is put them in a position where they can't have adequate manpower and backup for themselves. So one thing to help, though, even on the transparency side, which is, I think, a lot of the discussion about defunding police have police departments gotten to a spot where they're no longer, you know, kind of the community partner that they once were? The city of Yuma Police Department is absolutely lockstep with the rest of the community. It's well supported here. We've actually launched into body-worn cameras. And so we're implementing that so that both for the police and who they're interacting with at any given time. I want to settle the question here today to say we are absolutely not defunding our police department, and if anything, we're looking at ways to supplement and enhance, make it even stronger than it's ever been.
Which is great, and I think it's great for the community and the police department. That's again, I mean, I keep talking about Yuma and how great it is.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I won't keep doing that after I've lived here a few years, but I bet I do.
We hope you do. Yeah.
We hope you do, yeah.
But one of the things, there's such a huge sense of community.
Right.
And I feel like the police department is such a huge part of our community that actually maybe Yuma is in a position to handle this a little bit differently than other cities in the country that unfortunately don't have such a strong sense of community like we do here in Yuma.
Yeah, and I want to say this too, Kim. We've had some great conversations just recently with our community. To be very honest, we've had some African-American churches in our community reach out and say, we want to better understand how we fit into all of this,
mm-hmm.
how do we best interact with our police department. And so we've had wonderful conversations. Some of it, you know, has been, some things had to be said that were difficult on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just so pleased to be able to lock arm in arm with all of our community to serve everyone equally. But we need this police department to thrive, and we need our law enforcement to be well supported, and we absolutely plan to continue to do that.
That's great. That's great to hear, actually, for me personally.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great to hear. So shifting gears a little bit, keep you putting on the spot. What can you tell us? You know, I'm relatively new, and so Russ mentioned the ballot measures that he's nodding over here.
Well, he was on our Charter Review Commission, right? So our committee. So he was.
He said brave. I mean, they can't hear him. He doesn't have a microphone. So I'm like, he said brave. Oh dear.
But so was Jay. Jay was on that too.
Brave. So can you tell us a little bit more about those and how they would impact the city, whether they pass or fail?
Yeah, Kim, the propositions that are on the ballot, it's to align our election cycle with the state. And it's really generic language saying that we will align our election cycle with the state. Right now, our elections are on odd years. So city council elections are not when we have, state elections or county elections. We're kind of on our own. And a lot of folks in the community will say that's great. We want to be on our own. We decide our own. We're not on the end of the ballot like this year's ballot. I mean, I got it in the mail the other day. There's a lot of things on there. So, and typically the city stuff would then be the very last thing that you see on the ballot. But our state legislature, for whatever reason, feels that cities need to comply and vote the same time they do in all the other state elections. So they passed a law several years ago that mandates that we do that. Now we have an option. We could not do that and continue to go down our path and say, no, we're going to vote on odd number years like we've been doing.
But then we run into the possibility of losing half of our state shared revenues because we're not complying with state law. And I think Philip will tell you, if we lose half of our state shared revenues, our budget's going to be very, very difficult. It would be a tremendous hit. And we'd end up in a lawsuit more than likely with the state. And I don't think the city wants to do that. So we put it to the voters. Do you want us to comply with state law, or do you want us to go? And basically, that's what you're voting on. Comply with state law or stay on our own.
Yeah. And those two propositions are Proposition 412 and 413. We're asking that folks at least become acquainted with those. I think Jay hit the nail on the head. We really just need to make sure we're in compliance with the state so that we don't risk those state shared revenues. We don't want to obviously be in a situation where we're being sued by the state. We don't want our taxpayers to have to pay the legal bills involved in that. But to make any changes to our city charter, which is our governing document as a city, it requires a majority vote of our residents and so of our voters. So we need folks to make sure they get acquainted with that. They can go to our website on our city clerk's page. It will actually have a pamphlet that gives you all the information you need on these propositions. You can also call in, talk to our city clerk staff. They'd love to be able to get you more information on that. But ultimately, this is just aligning ourselves with what the state law requires.
Got it. And do you think it's going to affect the number of people voting in the? I mean, do you think more people will vote if it's aligned with the state, or do you think more people were likely to vote than the odd years?
I think that was the theory that when the state legislature passed the law is that it would increase participation
mm-hmm.
in local elections. I think we'll have to just see. I think the time will tell if that's the case or not. I mean, I think when presidential cycles like this year, especially when it's hyperactive, I think you would get a lot more voter participation. But there may be other years where I don't know if it'll matter. Reserve my opinion.
I have to do the same thing. It's like, okay, no, right now I'm in chamber mode. I can't
advocate for or against.
And some stuff, as you guys know, it gets pushed to us from the federal government, from the state government, and we sometimes it puts us in an untenable position where we just have to react to it. But in this case, unfortunately, there's some purse strings involved in that as well, and some attachments to the state shared revenues that make it more compelling for us to make sure that we align with them.
And so both propositions are, what's the difference in the two?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I can speak to that.
One changes.
One's like the date of the election.
So the police question wasn't on the spot.
One's the date of the election, and the other one is when you can collect signatures, and that it aligns with the date.
Deadlines for your petition and all that.
Got it. So it's basically just to make us in compliant with what the state is telling us we have to do as a city.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It's not necessarily anything.
Yeah, and it's pretty ministerial in nature, meaning it's not all that substantive other than, the state law is now moved on us. The city charter, now we need to ask our voters if we can align with that. And if they agree, then we can continue. We'll just have to move our election dates, essentially.
Perfect. Okay. Is that something that's going to be difficult internally? I mean, as far as...
No, actually, all of our elections, we partner with, in fact, the county. We're doing this election in partnership with them. So, really, there won't be any change to what people see. It'll just change the year, likely, of when those elections get held.
Right. So, it's not anything that's going to cost a lot of... That's my question. Is that, everybody's always thinking cost, and I know that we've discussed cost if we don't do it, but cost if we do it.
No. Yeah.
It'll actually save us money because we'll be on a ballot with all the other... So, there'll be a cost sharing with all the other entities. The one thing it will do is there would normally be a council election next year. It will now push that to 2022. So the council members that would be up for election, including the mayor, would have been next year. They would have moved to 2022.
Now, and they're not necessarily weren't looking for that per se, but they,
yeah.
They're like, well, you might have another year of term, they're willing to help accommodate that to make sure that we get aligned and ultimately to get ourselves compliant with the state.
Perfect. Well, thank you. You are listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
Hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. With 64 years of industry connections to have products in stock when others can't. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague's handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals. You can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Fox News at the top of the hour. Brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com. News Talk 560 KBOU, where you're always right.
You've helped them every step of the way. Preschool to elementary school. Elementary to high school. High school too. For too many, this is where their journey ends. The cost of college, vocational school, or other continued learning is simply too much. So I encourage you to open an AZ 529 education savings plan. I'm Arizona State Treasurer Kimberly Yee. You can choose from a variety of plans. Funds can be used for a range of educational expenses and educational choices. To learn more, visit az529.gov.
Your world is created by what you focus on. Right now at Nationwide Vision, when you buy one pair of eyeglasses, you will receive a second pair 50% off. Taking care of Arizona's eyes for 35 years. Nationwide Vision.
Good morning. This is Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. We are here this morning with Phil Rodriguez, City Administrator for the City of Yuma. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning to you, Kim.
And Jay Simonton, the Deputy City Administrator for the City of Yuma. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. So, you know, as I know, the strategic planning is coming up in a couple of weeks, and
yes.
So we're looking toward the future of the City of Yuma. One of the things that we asked about, that Rossi asked us about, we were talking about during the break, is privatization and what the City of Yuma is looking at as far as developing partnerships with private businesses to help enhance or save money on city services.
Yeah, and I appreciate that word partnerships, Kim, because it really is about the public and private sector partnering and to get to a spot where we can deliver services in a way that is most cost efficient and most cost effective. But also, you know, quite honestly, we've had a lot of conversations internally about ensuring that we don't compete with the private sector. There's things that the private sector does and has been doing very, very well that we don't always have to stand up an alternative city service to provide that very thing when we could actually just contract with that private entity to provide those services. So, Jay, I wonder if you might talk a little bit about, like, public works and some of our landscaping and things like that.
Sure, Philip. You know, like public works, a lot of the basins, like the stormwater retention basins, we have hundreds of them throughout the community that public works is responsible to maintain. We realized it's much more cost effective to partner with a private landscape company to go out there and do that once a week mowing or trimming the bushes instead of having a large staff of individuals working for us to do that. So then it's not that we reduced our workforce. Then we just take that workforce and put them on street repairs and things that are much more, you know, needed that our guys do much better. So we're actually looking at doing some of that in Parks and Rec. We're not looking to privatize the maintenance of our athletic fields, which really specialized person that does that. But to go out and mow a neighborhood park that once a week, if I have to take that specialized person off of the athletic field, to send him out there in a truck and a trailer and a mower to mow, you know, a few fields in neighborhoods, why not? And we've already got the same contractor doing the basins for public work. Why not utilize that same contractor? He's already in the neighborhood. So we're looking at doing those things just more efficient. Then I can reduce our workforce a little bit in Parks and Rec, but you keep those specialized guys to make sure that our pack and our baseball complex, at those fields, when we get those teams from California that we were talking about earlier come, to experience the great shape that we keep those. That's what we're trying to do. And so when we say privatization, you know, I've heard the negative comment, oh, you're going to privatize all of Parks and Rec. No, we're not going to do that. Actually, it will enhance what we do. And And so those fields and things that our folks love to play on will be even better because we've minimized the resources we have to use and just the mundane things that we have to do on a daily basis.
Well, and like we talked about, the same thing that most businesses do or even a homeowner does. You know, there are certain things that it makes sense to contract out. I mean,
sure.
I need someone to come look at my lights, and I'm going to hire an electrician. I'm not going to try to do that myself. And, because by the time I put in all the equipment and the hours learning how to do it, it's more efficient to hire somebody else to do it.
Well, and we want to make sure, too, that, you know, because you think about all of the other costs that go into staffing, you know, all the benefits, all the retirement, all those kinds of things. And sometimes what we really need is project specific. Like we just need somebody to come in and inject some capital and some time into a specific project. And we don't necessarily need to stand up whole departments to be able to provide those services. So we just want to, at the end of the day, we want to be more efficient with our resources so that we can transfer some of those unnecessary costs and put those into places that people really feel like we ought to. So roadways is a good example of that. This year alone, in this fiscal year, we're actually doubled up on our budget for pavement preservation. That's the number one thing I heard when I came into the city was, help us fix our roads. And but you know what? We don't have necessarily all that much more revenue to do that, right? So we just have to get more efficient. And that's what we're trying to do. And just this year alone, we doubled up on that street, that pavement preservation program. And we're heading back into the neighborhoods that haven't been touched in a very long time to get some of those roadways back up to much better shape.
Perfect. And so keeping with the whole future theme, what about the bike paths? Are we going to be expanding the bike paths?
We're looking at opportunities to expand those. We've had some discussions with our bike coalition and things. There's some paths we'd really like to get in place. There's some challenges to those, some along some of our other canals. We've got to work some of the other irrigation districts to make those happen. And we've had some of those preliminary discussions, and we'd really like to see if we can get those pushed forward this year or next. And so we're looking for grant opportunities as well to do that.
Right.
We've got a grants person in Parks and Rec that's dedicated to finding those kind of things, so we'll continue to look for opportunities to expand those.
Yeah, and our bike community is incredibly involved, and we appreciate mm-hmm. their involvement. Every time we talk about a new subdivision or an expansion of a park or whatever, we're hearing, please make sure there's bike paths involved in that. And so we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to prioritize it and have a great master plan for that. Now we just need to get that implemented.
Okay, and then something else that's important. I wish everybody could be here in the studio and see what happens here in the studio. Those on Facebook can see it. As Russ feeds me questions, which is really funny. So he has a 3-year-old grandchild. So we don't usually take questions from the audience.
She's a cutie.
But we have a one-member studio audience today.
Right.
And so he is asking about the playgrounds. Are they open yet?
Yes, all of our playgrounds are open. We've got them all open. We're actually going through and we're making a lot of repairs to some of those playgrounds right now. We're replacing slides and swing sets and things like that that have desperately needed to be replaced. So we're doing that now. But yes, I can happily say all of the playgrounds, even the Stuart Vincent Wolf playground, they're all open.
One of the things I want to applaud Jay on too is, as he's been our interim director of Parks and Recreation, is in Parks and Rec, we've thought a lot about, you know, expansion and what new parks we can add and so forth. But one of the things that he's been able to really do with his team is to go back and look at our existing parks, see what do we actually need to update. So instead of just talking about new, let's talk about what's already on the ground. How do we make those safe and long-lasting for our neighborhoods? And so they've been spending a lot of time and energy on that. And so the community will start to see a lot more of those things as we go. But at the end of the day, you know, we want to make sure we take care of what we have as well.
Perfect. And so, again, keeping with the future theme, you know, I met with the Yuma Southwest Contractors Association on Good Morning Yuma last week.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how much construction is booming.
Yes.
And so how is that affecting everything? How is that affecting you, the city? I know, obviously, there's increased permits and things that have to be dealt with. But clearly, there's also going to be increased population as the houses and the residential market continues to boom.
Sure, sure. Well, there's a lot of activity. I know that Randy Chris is our interim director in DCD, and their permits, their activity has actually increased this year, even during this pandemic. And so, there's no question about it that Yuma is growing. I do want to say one thing within that, though, is that we're knowing that the construction costs have shot way, way up. They probably talked a little bit about that, but
yes.
Cost of materials.
And
even
materials
labor,
are hard to find.
Yeah, absolutely.
Find.
And
yeah.
So,
back order, and yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
So over, I don't know, a month now, we've probably seen that decline just a bit from where we were a few months prior. But I think that has as much to do with the larger, you know, market of supply and demand than it does what's happening here locally. There's a lot of appetite here for growth in the development side, and we're seeing that. Neighborhoods are continuing to go. Retail is continuing to grow, and so we're just trying to keep up with that.
Well, with the couple of minutes we have left, I have two more questions,
okay.
Because fortunately, being on Facebook Live, we can get questions
yes.
on there.
Okay.
So the first question that we got was, when is the water park going to open?
The water park, as far as...
Maybe the splash pads?
The splash pads. Typically, those aren't open this time of year. We definitely have those open back up this spring. We're refurbishing those now.
Mm-hmm.
Them all cleaned up and painted. So I would look for those April-ish time frame is when we normally would open those.
Perfect. And then you had a question about the about utilities. So, like, if somebody hasn't been able to pay their water bill because they've been off work due to COVID or
yes.
reduced hours during,
yes.
you know, during COVID, how is that still working?
Yeah, so we've actually we've pulled back on that for right now, where, you know, what we're really trying to do is if somebody's got a situation where they're having some difficulty paying, we're asking them to just give us a call. We're working out some payment options for them and some payment plans. In some cases, that means deferring some of those to future months, spreading that out even more. But there is a program called Yuma Cares that the city's partnered with WACOG on. And so if somebody simply cannot pay their bill, they can go to WACOG, and there's dollars that are put in there by the city's utilities functions to help them offset their bills. So they can actually go there. And I'm going to say this kind of ahead of time, is we're going to have conversations at our next city council meeting, the 21st, about how we can even enlarge that program from where it is today. But, so that payment assistant exists. It's called Yuma Cares. And so if somebody's really having a struggle right now, then please reach out to WACOG. And you can get actually assistance with your bill.
Well, and the important thing is to reach out. I know it's so difficult. I mean, I get it. I had a job fall through during COVID,
sure.
and you know, my pride wanted to kick in. You know, you want to tell somebody that you're struggling, and
yeah.
and even the little bit I experienced, I can understand. But to me, the important thing is to reach out. There are programs out there to help.
Absolutely. So we have that. We also have rental and housing assistance through WACOG. The city's gotten. Gosh, close to $1 million, I think, at this
point. From CDBG
funding. Yeah, from federal funding.
From federal funding.
That also people can, and we know countless people already have gone forward and gotten help with that. That helps also, too, the landlords, quite honestly, so that we don't have this kind of disconnect between, you know, when people can't pay their bill, not only is it their family, but it's also wherever they're trying to pay that to that also
right.
has to take that hit. So. We're trying to help with that the best we can. We had a $500,000, well, actually $550,000 small business grant program that we did, relief grant program for all the businesses that were shut down during the pandemic. I think that's pretty close to being exhausted at this point. But so we've really tried to figure out ways that we can help the community sustain itself and get everybody back together. In fact, our theme on our budget this year was called a path to recovery and a plan for recovery. And so we're committed to making sure that we come out of this thing even stronger than we went into it. And so whatever we can do to be of assistance there, too, just largely is if people reach out and have that conversation with us.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming in this morning and taking this hour with us. We could have talked about this probably all day.
Absolutely. No, our pleasure.
This actually went faster than I had anticipated. So, I mean, that's great. So thank you so much. Thank you for all you do for the city and for the community. And this is Kimberly Kale, Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And this was Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBOU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.